wants, but sometimes the Lord wants to just sit down with His people. And He seemingly has done that tonight. And my heart, I've got a, I call it a notebook in case anybody gets offended. It's a digital notebook. It's full of sermons. But there is something about the moving the Spirit of God that can do more in just a few moments than what hours and hours and hours of preaching can do. I think we could learn a lot from the life of David if we really studied, really looked to the life of a man who started really good and ended really good. Started really good, on fire, excited, and ended really good. The very seed of our Savior flowed from David. What an honor, what a privilege, what a testimony. But when you get in the middle of David's life, you'll find flaws. You'll find failures. You'll find mistakes. You'll find moments when David, if he could have physically crawled under some of those caves, he probably would have. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like we always preach on starting right, finishing right, and right all the way in between. And I've yet to meet the man. Did y'all forget? I'm just going to be honest, and I hope y'all be honest back with me. I've yet to meet the man that could say they started right, they finished right, and was right from beginning to end. Because every one of us tonight have faults and failures. And you better not go look in that mirror, because you're going to see a whole lot more of Simon than what you want to see. One of my favorite disciples. Why? Because he reminds me of me more than any other disciple in the Word of God. We see it in David's life. We see it in Simon Peter's life. We see it in Elijah's life, one of the greatest Old Testament prophets to ever live. Seen some of the greatest miracles to ever be done on that side of Calvary. But yet, no more than did he see the little widow woman sustained, those barrels not running out, the miraculous hand of God work. No more than he just see a young dead boy have life brought back into his body. Just got through praying 63 words of prayer and watched fire fall down from heaven. The very next thing we find him doing is looking for his towel to throw it in. In 1 Kings chapter number 19, Lord, it's enough. That's Paulding County, Carroll County, Douglas County for I'm done. I'm through. I can't handle no more. Anybody ever felt like you couldn't handle no more? Anybody ever felt like throwing in their towel? Anybody ever, can I get real honest tonight? Anybody ever dreaded serving the Lord because you knew what it would take for you to serve Him, the capacity that you had to serve Him in? Brother Latham, how long did you pastor before you retired? About 20 years. Been preaching for how long? Longer than I've been alive. You ever felt like quitting? Preacher, you ever felt like saying that was it? Matter of fact, I ain't going to preach your sermon, but I think you told us a little bit of it last night. Threw that Bible down. I remember being a little boy, and I walked in the house where my daddy and mama still live today. They live in an old double-wide trailer that's been remodeled about 50, 11 times. It's got about 2.5 inches of subfloor on it. They just keep adding on to it. But before they started the remodeling processes, in its original state, you know how it is, and that thing's an 80-something model frame trailer. Right now, you'd pull up in the yard, wouldn't even know it was a trailer, double-wide, mobile home, excuse me, let me get technical. You wouldn't even know it, and you would go inside, and you would never know it. I've done so much work on this. But before that, when I was just a little boy, Brother Latham, we'd walk in, and that old blue carpet in that house, and them old thin paneled doors that had gaps underneath them about that wide. You didn't have to put your ear down to hear what Mom and Daddy's talking about. You just stood out the door and you can hear it all. And I remember we'd come home on Sunday nights and Daddy, he'd go right to his room. Didn't matter if it was good service or bad service, he'd go right to his room. He'd take his suit off, his tie off, he'd hang everything up, put it back. And sometimes he'd come back out, and this is normally the good service routine, the good Sunday routine, is he would come back in there and have his Gunsmoke pajama breeches on. And he'd turn on Gunsmoke or Bonanza or something that our uncle had recorded on a VCR tape for him. And he'd put on an old Western, and he'd eat sardines and crackers, and y'all pray for him. I mean, it was rough. An ice cold Sam's Cola. We wasn't the richest. It wasn't Coca-Cola. It was Sam's Cola. I grew up thinking Coca-Cola was for poor folks. I mean, we had Sam's Cola. That was good days. And I remember some days he'd go in that room and he wouldn't come back out. And I knew. I remember one time, and I never told him about it. Of course, he's heard this story now. He may be fixing to hear it again tonight. Watch it online. But Latham, I remember beneath the cracks of those double-wide panel doors, him and Mama's conversation, I ain't going back. If that's what they want, they can have it. If they don't want preaching, then why am I wasting my time? If they want dead church, then I'll just let them have dead church. And I remember as a little boy hearing the words of a quitting man. I had no idea what I was really hearing, but boy, was I hearing them, Brother TJ. And I'll never forget, as a little boy, I woke up the next morning, and guess who was sitting back at the dining room table? The same man that was talking about quitting, the same man that was talking about giving up, was sitting right back there at that dining room table with that black King James Bible laid out. Woo! And he was meeting with God one more time. And let me tell you something tonight. What I'm trying to get you to understand is in this life, there's going to be moments that are so overwhelming in our journey and our walk of faith. And there will be times when you feel like quitting. And Brother Latham, I've ran into him recently myself. And I felt like it's not worth it. It's not worth the days away from my home. It's not worth the days away from my family. And then when they go with me, it's not worth being just locked up in a hotel room all week. It's not worth dragging them all over the country. It's not worth them not having a normal life. And I have felt like giving up. And it makes me feel like a failure. It makes me feel like a David where I've messed up or where I've fallen. It makes me feel like a Simon Peter when I say I'm just going to go fishing. I'm just going to go back to what I've always known. I've had those conversations where I've told my close friends, I'll go pick up a hammer. I'll go pick up a nail apron somewhere. I'll go get back on a roof. I'll go take care of some yards. I'll buy me a fleet of lawnmowers. I'll get the job done. Oh, but can I say tonight, there's something like Jeremiah said. It's like a fire that shut up in my bones. Hey, can I tell you tonight, sometimes you get weary. Sometimes you get tired. But for those that are sitting beside you tonight, it ain't time to give up. And it ain't time to quit. It's time to keep going on in faith. I'm a hypochondriac. If you got it, don't tell me. I'll have it before the night's over with. I walked up to Brother Latham a while ago and asked him how he was doing. He said he wasn't able to be here last night. Six doctor's appointments. I'm a hypochondriac. I've got things going on right now that my wife wishes I would never talk about again. Because I've told my doctors about them, and you know what they told me? Okay, we'll look into that. And they ain't looking into it. So you know what that tells me? It must not be all that serious. But to me, I'm a hypochondriac. I'm dying. Excuse me, sir, while I'm sitting in your waiting room, I'm dying. Do something about it. And Brother Latham walked in. He said that cancer tried to eat me up. And he had six doctor's appointments yesterday. And he said, I'd just be honest with you, I was a little wore out at the end of the day. And we didn't make it. I thought, dear time, if I'd have had six doctor's appointments yesterday, I wouldn't be back to church till next month. Yeah. And preacher, I don't know how bad it hurts, and I don't know what you went through in its totality, but I know this. I sure am thankful that there was something that said, I'm going to go to God's house inside of you tonight. And then it sure has encouraged me. And man, I owe my wife an apology because I whine and complain all the time. Thank you for standing up and opening the door of this service tonight with being honest with God and being honest with the people of God, because she has to hear me whine and complain and talk about my toenails hurt, my fingernails hurt. Amen. I don't know if I can breathe out my left nostril just right. I'm going to go. I mean, I'm full of it tonight. I'm telling you, I drove her crazy, and I'm sorry that I've drove her crazy. Probably drove my kids crazy, and I'm probably driving God crazy. And it's got me to a place where I'm just so messed up and tore up, I felt like giving up. But can I tell you, something has stirred my soul tonight, amen, that I just want to keep going on in faith. It's not time to quit. It's time to hunker down and say, God, give me full of faith. God, give me something that'll help me to continue on in the journey. I preached last night. Sunday, I felt okay. I really did. You could probably hear it in my voice. Got all this sinus stuff going on. And I was on a steroid Sunday, so I was opened up. Well, I don't like the way steroids make me feel. It's probably why I preached so fast Sunday. Probably sound like an auctioneer up here. Hey, I said, I ain't taking that steroid again. Can't sleep at night anyway. Well, then I come in here last night and that steroid was gone. And I thought my head was going to come off my shoulders. And that sinus pressure was building up so bad, much less the pressure that a preacher builds up while he's preaching. And man, I thought blood was going to start pouring out of my nose and out of my ears and out of my eyes. I laid in the bed last night, and I thought, I'm going to call Brother Josh. Tell him, preacher, I need to go home. I don't think I can preach no more this week. I'm telling you, I thought that. And I made a statement the other day. The Lord's been, you better be careful what you say, because then the Lord will make you live it. Careful what you preach, the Lord will make you live it. I made a statement about Elijah. Can I go back to him for just a moment? Elijah got to the place of giving up, wanting to quit, Brother TJ, when he quit praying for others. His whole ministry was doing things for others. We know the power of God working through his life, but you know what I'm saying? It was for the widow woman. It was for that boy. It was for the people of God that had forgotten about God and him proving himself back to that nation. But in 1 Kings chapter number 19, you know who the story became about? It became about Elijah. And when he quit praying for others and got worried about himself, he almost quit. You know what God told him? He said, get up, Elijah. He said, I've got something for you to do. The journey's too great for thee. God let him rest. God fed him. And then he said, and I want you to do something. I want you to go down there and anoint Jehu to be king. He said, and then you're going to find a little boy plowing in a field of oxen by the name of Elisha. He said, and I want you to cast your mantle on him. And can I say, I sure am glad that Elijah didn't quit that day, because there was somebody coming up behind him. The next generation was behind find Elijah. Amen. And we've seen the power of God continue on through him because Elijah did not quit. I made a statement. You got to be careful when it all becomes about you. When it all becomes about me. Lord, help me to pray for others more than I pray for myself. When you're praying for others, you are becoming more like Christ. Father, forgive them. You know what the Lord did to me last night? I was laying in that bed. I'm telling you, for 2-3 hours after this service, my head, I could feel my heart beating in my ears. I said, I'm going to call Brother Josh, tell him I got to go home in the morning. The Lord woke me. You mentioned this last night. Talking about that Lord, the Holy Ghost waking you up in the morning with sweet hour prayer. 3:30 in the morning. My eyes was wide open. And I ain't no... Well, you don't know me enough. Brother Latham, you know me enough. You've been knowing me ever since I first started preaching. And I don't know why you gave me a chance, but you gave me a chance when I first started preaching. Thank you. You've known me long enough, but DJ, you've known me a long time. And maybe indirectly, but you've known me a long time. I ain't no super spiritual. I ain't no spooky type of preacher. But the Lord woke me up at 3:30 this morning, and he started running names across my mind. And he said, enough about you. He said, why don't you start praying for your brothers? And he started letting me pray for men that are my heroes. He started letting me pray for men that are my friends. He started letting me pray for men that I've not talked to in a long time. Hey, amen. You know what I did when I got up this morning? I started texting them and saying, I love you. I'm praying for you. Because I got to make it less about me. And I got to make it more about him. And I want to be more like him. And if I'm going to be more like him, I got to pray for my friends. And I've got to reach out to those that may be hurting worse than me tonight. Amen. Say, what are we talking about tonight? You know what we're talking about? We're talking about a Holy Ghost meeting. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we just ain't getting 3 points and a poem, right. Yeah. And calling it a day. We're talking about let God have his way in a service. And I'm just trying my best to mind God. And I'll be honest with you, my heart is simply this tonight. I feel like that we need to have an invitation. And I believe the first part needs to maybe be some of those that have felt like throwing in their towel and quitting on God because of the circumstances that you're living in. The Jezebels have talked about you and you're ready to throw your towel in. Life is not all that you thought it would be, old Simon. And in the heat of the moment, you turned and you walked away from the very man that you just told you'd go to prison with and you'd even die for. Yeah. And now you're following afar off. You're throwing your towel in. You know what it's time to do? It's time to get back. Amen. That was his sermon, not mine. I'm just telling you what he done preached. Tonight's not the night to throw in your towel. Amen. Or maybe tonight, and again, I don't want to be a hard preacher, but I'm telling you what the Lord's helped me with. Maybe tonight, it's been all about you. And tonight you need to say, Lord, I'm sorry that all of my praying has been concerning myself. But tonight, would you bring others to my mind that I may pray for my brothers and my sisters in Christ? And you'll be surprised how praying for others will encourage you in your walk with God. Matter of fact, sis, if you know that song that he spoke of last night, that sweet hour of prayer, that she's already on it. Let's stand together tonight. Can we have a moment of prayer? Can we have a sweet hour? Brother Jared, do we got to pray for an hour? No, but I believe we're in an hour of prayer. Tonight, I don't want you to leave. I don't want nobody to leave with their white flag or their white towel of surrender ready to be cast. Old preacher by the name of Earl Hughes, he said it like this. He said, how are you going to throw in your towel? God didn't give you one when you got saved. Amen. You better realize tonight that you don't even have the ability to quit. Why don't you come and say, Lord, help me to keep on pressing on tonight in faith. Father, we love you. Lord, you know you've orchestrated this service. Lord, you have ordained this hour, this time, this people that is, you knew everybody that would be sitting right here. Before the meeting started, before the year started, before we were ever here, you knew of this night. You knew of the burdens, you knew of the cares, you knew of the situations. You knew of those that felt like throwing in their towels and those that felt like quitting. You knew those that were so burdened that they could not pray for others, probably much less even themselves. Lord, I pray that tonight, through a moment of prayer, through a moment of surrender, Lord, that they would cling to the power of God that can help them continue in faith. Help me, I pray in Jesus' name. Help this pastor, help his home, help this church, help the visitors that are here. Lord, I pray everybody could get in on what God is doing. We thank you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. She's playing tonight. Boy, don't leave without getting what you need from God. These altars are already